Yes, I can hear. Yes. The bad thing of reading the text and reading it again and reading it with you is that more ideas come into my mind. More and more ideas come into my mind. When Kathleen said, you cannot understand verse 28 without reading the whole chapter, the whole chapter, chapter 28. I was reading and I said, you're not going to understand if you haven't read chapter 15 either. Because he keeps referring to chapter 15. Thank you, Kathleen. And yes, let me. Who remembers what happened in chapter 15? Who can be the hero today and save the day? In chapter 15, what happened was that Saul didn't listen to the Lord and he didn't kill a whole nation. Yes, but they we save the best for you, Lord. We save the best for you. Anyway, Amalek. I'll read 15:10. So he went to attack them, but he didn't kill them all. Which sounds there's a book, "Kill Them All" by Paul Copan. He's a I can call him a friend. He's an apologist friend of mine, famous in the U.S. He's written a lot of books. He's a philosopher. He teaches philosophy, and he's written a book specifically on this issue: how come God sent His people to kill other people? So he has a whole book about it. Paul Copan. You can find him on Amazon. It says 15:10 says, then the word of the Lord came to Samuel. I regret that I have made Saul king, because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions. Samuel was angry, and he cried out to the Lord all that night. Early in the morning, Samuel got up and went to meet Samuel, but he was told Saul has gone to Carmel. There he has set up a monument in his own honor. See, not in the honor of the Lord, but in his own honor. And has turned and gone on down to Gilgal. When Samuel reached him, Saul said, "The Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions." Sometimes we can deceive ourselves and we think that we have carried out the Lord's instructions, but we have not. When Samuel reached him, Saul said, "The Lord," but Samuel said, verse 14, "What then is this bleating of sheep in my ears? What is this lowing of cattle that I hear?" In Hebrew, even in English, it rhymes. 15. Saul answered, "The soldiers," who received the word of the Lord? The soldiers or Saul? Saul. But he's blaming the soldiers. And what happened, and where did this come from? This mannerism of blaming somebody else for your sin. Remember the woman that you gave me? the snake. So answered the soldiers. The soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but we totally destroyed the rest. Well, make up your mind. You totally destroy, or you just kept some. Enough. See, even Samuel got enough. Samuel said to Saul, "Let me tell you what the Lord has said to me last night. Tell me," Saul replied. So he wants to hear. He wants to hear, but he's not willing to obey. Samuel said, "Although you were once small in your own eyes," and remember, this is a play of words. When Samuel was made king, when Saul was made king, how tall was he? What does the Bible say? He was the tallest of all Israel. "Although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribe of Israel? The Lord anointed," and what am I saying about the toe? Because when Kathleen read that Saul fell onto his, in my NIB says, you can understand that he's a very big man. He's on the floor and he's a very big man. the Lord anointing you king over Israel. And he sent you on a mission saying, go and completely. See, the Lord, and we totally destroyed the rest, but left some alive. But the Lord told him, go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites. Wage war against them until you have wiped them out. Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord? But I did obey. That's his answer. But I did obey the Lord, so said. I went on to the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. We brought back the king. Well, did you completely do it or not? This is like talking to your children, yeah? did you fix the room? Yeah. Which part? I put my shoes on. Didn't I ask you to completely do it? The soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal. And this is a... they're being told to destroy everything, but they save something for God. So this is false spirituality. You're pretending to praise and to serve God with what God abhors, detests. But Samuel replied, and this is the main thing of this chapter. Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as obeying the Lord? Let me read it again. Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. You can think of this about what happened this week in Washington, D.C. For rebellion is like the sin of divination. Rebellion is like the sin of divination. And in chapter 28, what did he do? He went to consult a medium, and they do divination. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. What we saw last week. Arrogance as the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. But I save another king, but I say the best for you. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I violated the Lord's command in your instructions. I was afraid of the men, so I gave in to them. Remember who was also afraid last week and gave in to them as well? Aaron. The people wanted a god, and I just poured out the gold, and out came out this calf. The same excuses. Do you see the trend? The same excuses. And this is called biblical theology. That's what I'm doing. The same thing happens over and over again, and the Lord keeps going over and over again with his people. Now I beg you, forgive my sin and come back with me so that I may worship the Lord. But he didn't want to worship the Lord. But Samuel said to him, I will not go back with you. You have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you as king over Israel. As Samuel turned to leave, Saul cut hold of the hem of his robe, and he tore. So now remember, when he comes up, he has a robe, and Saul knows who Samuel is. Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to one of your neighbors. See, he almost says almost the same thing that we read in chapter 28. To one better than you. He who is the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind, for he is not a human being that he should change his mind. So reply, I have sinned, but please honor me before the elders. So he didn't want to go and worship. He wanted to be honored before the elders. So you see how he uses, how he manipulates the language in order to conceal his real motive. Please honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel. Come back with me so that I may worship the Lord your God. So Samuel went up with Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Then Samuel said, bring me Agag, king of the Amalekites. Agag came with his to him in chains, and he thought, surely the bitterness of death is past. But Samuel said, as your sword has made women childless, so will your mother be childless among women. And Samuel put Agag to death before the Lord at Gilgal. The Hebrew says he cut him into pieces. So he went with the sword and cut him into pieces. So it's, the Hebrew is it's a bit more nasty when you read it. Then Samuel left for Ramah, but Saul went up to his home in Gibeah of Saul. Until the day Samuel died, he did not go to see Saul again, though Samuel mourned for him. And the Lord regretted that he has made Saul over king, my Saul king over Israel. Now it's better to understand chapter 28. Let me, because I listen to myself. Chapter 28 then is very close to chapter 15. And that's why you have to read the whole book. And not only the whole book, the whole Old Testament. And not only the whole Old Testament, the whole Bible, to understand what's going on. That's why when people say, the Bible contradicts itself, have you read the whole thing? No! Then how do you know? How do you know that it contradicts itself? Somebody told you, you saw it on the History Channel. Historians hate History Channels yet because they get paid, they like to be on the History Channel. Talking to the dead. Have you ever met someone who's claimed to talk to the dead? Have you heard those stories that some police departments employ necromancers, that's how they call people who talk to the dead, and they pay them thousands of dollars to talk to their relatives so they can more or less find out if the person who's been missing for years is still alive? And 90% of the time, or 95% of the time, after talking to the family members, so they gather intelligence. Oh, he or she used to do this or that, go to this place or to the other place. So they make up a story in their mind, and they give them some feedback. I'm going to consult that to your dead relative. And funny that, not funny, but that some people, I remember I read reading once that this person was trying to talk to the family on behalf of the dead person. And then the dead person turned up. In Brazil this week, there was an old man who was burying because he died of COVID-19. 3 days later, he showed up at his home. He was just drunk. But a medium had told him, yes, he's dead. So you don't have to look for him anymore. You can rest assured. And imagine the people. Hey, what's going on? Who are you saying farewell to? Oh, you just died. So they put the wrong person in the coffin. So you find all these persons doing this, and because maybe they get it once right, they are proclaimed to be great prophets. They are proclaimed to be true spiritists. But you don't look at the other 99% that they got it wrong. Going back to what happened on Wednesday, I have my sister lives like 1 hour from Washington, D.C., so I call her at 9 o'clock Australian time and say, hey, you know what's going on? I say, oh, we see a lot of cars going to D.C. all day. Heaps and heaps of cars. All with flags and with flags which says Trump is my president, Jesus is my savior. And how some Christians in the U.S. have combined Christianity with their own nationalism. And that's not new. You know where it comes from? It comes from Puritans. The Puritans, remember, they came from England. They used to say, the Bible in one hand and the rifle in the other. That's what they used to say. Some people hold the Puritans in high regard. I don't. They kill one of England's kings, Charles I. Yes. They decapitated him because they didn't like him. And then there was the Civil War, and then the new king, Richard. Actually, it was Richard, yes? Richard II came back, one of them. So they were not that peaceful as Americans sometimes like to portray themselves to be. But a lot of evangelical Christians in the USA made a lot of prophecies. Trump will go to church and people will say, I prophesy you in the name of the Lord that you have a second term. Many, many, even Billy Graham's son, Franklin Graham, was on this wagon. They jump on it. Jensen Franklin, another guy, and a lot of people. What do you say to those people who prophesy in the name of the Lord and it doesn't come to pass? What does the Bible say about those people? Let me tell you in my words what the Bible says. In my words, not the I will find the biggest stone and drop it on them. That's what the Bible says. And let's read it in chapter 18. Chapter 18 of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 18. And I want you to read it because all the time we're getting false prophets. All the time we're getting people who tell us what's going to happen in the future. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 and on. When you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Remember last week I talked about sacrificing to other gods, about worshiping other gods. Again, let no one be found among you who sacrifices their son or daughter in the fire. Good that we don't do that anymore. Who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, or who is a medium or a spiritist, or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. Because of these same detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. You must be blameless before the Lord your God. Verse 14 on. The nations you will dispossess, listen to those who practice sorcery or divination. But as for you, the Lord your God has not permitted you to do so. And then after that, it goes on. It goes on to promise another prophet. Let's read it. Because this is the promise that Moses, when he dies, there's going to be another prophet. And that's why in the Gospels, when you see, are you Elijah? Are you this? Or are you the prophet? They are referring to this text. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me. This is Moses talking. That's why the second Moses is Jesus. This is where we get all these ideas from. From among you, from your fellow Israelites, you will listen to him, for this is what you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see this great fire anymore, or we will die. The Lord said to me, what they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites, and I will put my words in his mouth. He will tell them everything I command him. I myself will call on to account anyone who does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name. But a prophet who pronounces to speak in my name, who presumes to speak in my name, anything I have not commanded, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, all his books are supposed to be bought. He's supposed to be invited into conferences. No, he is to be put to death. So I said some names. I want to say one more. Sorry for that, but I get Charisma Magazine. That's why I get it from Facebook. And I read all these people who prophesy all the time. And there's a guy who's Jewish, Jonathan Kahn. I call him Jonathan Kahn. That's what I write back to him. When he writes something, I write back to him. He has said so many false prophecies. And I said, when are you going to stop doing this? Where does Deuteronomy 18? You claim to be a rabbi, and I researched him. He never graduated from yeshiva, which is the Jewish seminary. When are you going to stop saying false prophecies? When are you going to stop saying that God told you this and doesn't come to pass? And what he says always is, people didn't have enough faith. That's why it didn't come to pass. People didn't pray enough. That's what they're saying in the U.S. That why Trump is not second term? Because people didn't pray enough. People didn't believe enough. Or because you're a false prophet. That's the easiest answer. I want to say something on chapter 28. So now you know that God told the people of Israel to get away with all these people who are mediums, who speak to the dead. I don't know if you have family members, but I have family members who they are believers, yet they tell me, oh, I went to the medium. I said, what? What do you do? What are you doing? She's a new Christian, but they know about God. They know about the Bible. I said, don't you know this is evil? Yeah, but they told me this and they told me that. Has it come to pass? No, but they will. When? How long ago did I tell you this? Oh, 10 years. Oh, come on. I have family members who are enemies, because this family member went to a medium, and the medium told him, oh, your sister has put a spell on you. That's why you're always sick. And that's what one of them hates the other. I don't know if you have that. In Latin America, this is big business. Big business. And they're not in Latin America. They're in the U.S. So you go to these mediums and they tell you what you want to hear. They tell you, bring me pictures. Bring me this. Bring me that. My grandma died of cancer. But the medium told one of her daughters that she died because somebody put a spell on them. And I said to my auntie, don't you know we're all going to die? Don't you know we still have the curse of sin? And we're going to die of something, of disease or something? Isn't that why do you pay $5,000 for somebody to tell you that grandma died of a disease? People are making money out of people. So Samuel goes because he doesn't hear the Lord anywhere. He doesn't hear the Lord. Did not answer by dreams. Did not answer by Urim. Urim and Thummim, they were like two. If you read this in the Old Testament, Urim and Thummim, we think that they were like two stones that you throw them into a bag, and whatever you comes up, that's the answer. Yes or no. Yes or no. That's why when in the ephod is supposed to be something that the priest would cover himself, and then you ask the Lord, and depending depending what the priest would say, then you do it. That's why when David asked, should I go, should I do this or should I do that? Yes or no, yes or no, yes or no. So that was, or prophet. So nobody spoke to Saul. The Lord wasn't on speaking terms with Saul. So what did he do? He went to get someone who could speak to the dead. Why? Because Israel, and today as well, they believe that somehow the dead know more than the living. Let me tell you one thing. I'm more afraid of the living than the dead. And I told you so many times about my life. I never saw a dead person with a gun shooting at me. But I saw a lot of very much alive people shooting everywhere. So, yes. So she brings up Samuel. And why do people think, I don't know if you've seen Ghosts. You've seen Ghosts, yeah? Those who have a romantic heart. You've seen Ghosts or any other movie. When we were singing, I was thinking about Casper the Friendly Ghost. Those of us who are old enough to remember that, yeah. Casper the Friendly Ghost. But some ghosts, they appear from nowhere, yeah? No, but the ancients, they believed that the ghosts used to come from the bottom, because where do you bury people? So they will come from there. So the thing is this is a bit more advanced, I want to say this, but the woman said, whom should I bring? Bring up Samuel, he said. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out at the top of her voice and said to Saul, why have you deceived me? You are Saul. The king said to her, don't be afraid. What do you see? The woman said, I see a ghostly figure. And in the Hebrew, again, doesn't say ghostly figure. The Hebrew says, I see gods. I see gods. So Elohim, you have to be really careful. In the Old Testament, how that word, if you hear anything about Hebrew things, how that word is used in the Old Testament. So she saw some God coming out of the earth. And so said, it's Samuel. The question is, did she really call up Samuel or not? Or was it a demon? Or was it a false vision? Let me give you my take. God did not say, do not console the dead, if the dead could not speak to us. He'll be lying. Do not worship other gods because they're not real. But don't worship them anyway. And when God goes, like I said last week, when God goes against the Egyptians, all the 10 plagues are aimed at one particular God at a time. It's God against the gods. The Almighty, Elyon. Elyon means the God above all the gods. So there's a war. And what does Jesus say? The God of this world. And we're going to see in the next 2 weeks, because after this we jump on the New Testament. Jesus, next week we're going to see how Jesus fights against these things, against these gods, against these spirits, and how in the Old Testament these spirits brought Israel down. So did she really bring up Samuel? Yes, he did. She did. Yes. That's what we're told not to do it. And why do I say this? He wanted to know the future. If you go to Isaiah 8, 9 and 10. Sometimes I miss the the King James Version, because because sometimes it has certain words that I really miss that they are translated into the Spanish as well, while the NIV interprets. You understand better what you're reading, but interprets better. But anyway, so Isaiah 8:19 says, when someone tells you to, and we're talking Isaiah. This is way after Saul. Almost by the time that the southern kingdom is going to fall. When someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire their God? So why am I going to inquire little gods if I can inquire the God? You as children of Israel, you as children of the Almighty, all of you here, why should you inquire little gods instead of inquiring to the big God, to the only one, to the highest one? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? So Saul wasn't the only one doing it. The king was doing it, and the people was doing it as well. And verse 20, consult God's instruction and the testimony of warning. This is what Isaiah is talking about. Consult the testimony. This is called the testimony. To the law and the testimony. That's what the King James says. Consult God's instruction and the testimony of warning. If anyone does not speak according to this word, they have no light or dawn. So are we going to ask the dead for the living, my brothers and sisters? No. Because it becomes a snare for us. And are we supposed to think like Saul did, that if we don't follow the word of the Lord is going to talk to us still? The Lord is going to honor us? The Lord is going to come on our for our salvation if we're in distress? Look at Saul. They're being, I say the best for you, Lord. I say the best, but I told you to destroy it. I didn't tell you to say the best for me. What Saul wanted from Samuel was Samuel coming to him and saying, you are simply the best, better than all the rest. No. He didn't get that. He got an angry Samuel. Why have you not listened to the word of the Lord? It was easy. No. I didn't do it. My soldiers did. No. My family wanted to go to other to do all these abominable things, and I just follow them. Oh, at work, they require me to do these things that I know is wrong. So I do it because I don't want to lose my job. And I'm getting closer and closer to the things that we may have to face, and some Christians have faced in the past. In China, I put a video on Twitter and Facebook this week. Actually, yesterday, I put a video. And Evelyn commented on it. How Chinese police men and women came into the service and broke it up. Took the pastor for 15 days and took the one that was leading, three women, overnight. Why? Because they wanted to know if they were giving praise to the chairman of the party. That's persecution. But right now, I'm looking on the internet. Oh, we've been persecuted. They brought down one video of mine. Oh, I've been persecuted. They closed down my Twitter account. Oh, persecution. In Pakistan, three men yesterday, they were arrested because they were blamed of burning the Quran, which is a lie. They didn't do it. But in Pakistan, remember, there was a lady for years and years spending in jail, and she's now in Canada. She was blamed by people, by other women, that were going to get the water, and I don't know what happened there. There was a big fight, and she was blamed that she burned the Quran. That's what they like to do in Pakistan, blame Christians for burning the Quran. But if you convert to Islam, you will be exonerated. No. No. I'm going to be faithful to the Lord. Pressure. Pressure for us to deny the Lord. Pressure for us not to follow His commandments. For convenience in Saul's case. Saul wanted it. I'm going to finish with this. Saul wanted a good thing. Saul wanted for him to win the battle for Israel. It's not that he wanted something evil. No, he wanted something good. But he went the wrong way. He went the way that the Lord had said not to do it. In Leviticus 19:33-20:27, he also talks about in Exodus 22:18, all these verses. So Exodus 22:18, Leviticus 19:31, and chapter 20:27, and I'm not reading it because it's going to take longer. All these verses tells us time and time again not to consult the dead, not to go to mediums, not to use divinization to know the future. Let me close with this. My great grand, because she was my grandma's auntie. So great grandma, or whatever. Somebody from long way away. She became a Christian. I'm talking about maybe 30 years ago. No, more. 35 years ago. Yeah, 35 years ago. She was a Christian. She was 80-something. And then she told me that she was so desperate that, and she was a new Christian, so she didn't know what to do. So she went to a medium, as she used to do, to find out everything. One of her sons was lost. She didn't know where he was. He used to drink a lot. And she was waiting at the lobby, waiting for her turn to go and see this guy. But this guy came out from wherever he was and said, "Get out!" And she was saying, "Why? I always pay you. You always told me things. Get out, because you have a light that is stronger than my light. The light of Jesus." Our God is stronger, and all He asks is to trust and obey. That's why I love that hymn. Trust and obey, for there is no other way. And how does it go? To be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Saul didn't trust, Saul didn't obey, he lost a kingdom. Let's not lose anything here because we don't trust and obey, but pour our total trust in Jesus. Last week I said not to put trust in men. This week I tell you not to put trust in the devil himself, but to trust in this testimony and trust that what Jesus accomplished in the cross, the Bible says that he exhibited all powers and authorities at the cross and conquer them all. There's nothing stronger than Jesus. The cross conquered all. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, let us trust in your word. Let us wait and see how great you are. And let us be like the three young men in the book of Daniel, that they said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "No, king, that we would not bow to your statue." that God will deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we will not bow. And why? Because they knew that if they were faithful to the Lord has his promise of eternal life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you because you are faithful. Holy Spirit, please give us the strength to endure temptation, to endure the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen.